Steve. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. You can reach us at 312-981-7200. Our guest right now is Alexander Zelbin. Alexander is the managing editor for TV Guide. You can find TV Guide online at tvguide.com. Alexander, thanks for joining us again. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's start out with one of our favorites, returning to television. Hasn't been gone that long, but we need him now more than ever. David Letterman back on Netflix. What do you know about his new show?
So he is taking a little bit of a different tack. It's not a daily talk show by any means. In fact, it's only coming out monthly on Netflix. The show is called My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, and it's a very different format for him. The first episode dropped today on Netflix. And it's basically just him and Barack Obama sitting on a stage talking for about an hour. There's a couple of film segments. He has a few film segments where he walked the bridge in Selma, David Letterman, with John Lewis, which are pretty powerful, and those tie back into what they're talking about with Barack Obama's presidency. But it's wonderful. I tweeted this out a little bit this morning, but I just feel like it's funny, it's hopeful, it's heartfelt. It avoids talking about a lot about what's going on today. So if you're looking for a little bit of an island away from the news to a little bit of a rosier era, let's say, this is definitely the show for you. And I did not expect how many times that I would get choked up watching it, not just from Barack Obama's direction when he's eloquently or in a very humorous manner talking about things, but also David Letterman. It's a lot about them getting back to what they love after a little bit of a break.
And this is a perfect format for David Letterman at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, all the rigorous work of having a nightly show is behind him. Now he can just do it when he pleases. How perfect. I'm surprised it doesn't get political. I really am.
Well, it does in a certain sense. I mean, listen, the current president's name does get dropped once right in the middle of the show. But for the most part, what Dave is letting him do is what I think great interviewers do, which is he sits back, he listens, and he prods him a little bit, but he mostly lets Obama talk. And that's what's kind of beautiful about it. One of my favorite bits in the show is just them talking about what it was like when Barack Obama dropped off his daughter to college. And it's this wonderfully human, emotional story that I'm never going to be president. I don't want to ruin that for you guys, but it just made me really relate to Obama in a very specific way. And that's what I think makes it a wonderful interview.
So the standards that we've come to expect from him in most talk shows, like there is no monologue at the beginning, there is no Paul Schaefer in the orchestra, all those things are gone, right?
Well, here's the sneaky thing about it, is he doesn't exactly do a monologue, but he does come out and talk for, I'd say, 30 to 45 seconds to warm up the crowd a little bit at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's not a monologue, but it takes the place of a monologue. And I didn't know this going in, but if you check the credits at the end, there's a little bit of music that plays throughout. The music is by Paul Schaefer.
Oh, it is.
So there's no band on stage or anything like that. If you're looking for another Letterman show, it's definitely not that at all.
Yeah.
But he has some of his familiar elements, some of the things that he relies on. But it feels completely fresh and new and, like I said, very heartfelt, but very funny at the same time.
So what do you think the difference is? You know, Johnny Carson, when he left, said, you know, this isn't the last you'll see of me. I'm not going to host The Tonight Show anymore, but I'm certainly not going to fall off the side of the planet.
Liar.
You're going to see more of me. And then we didn't see more of him. What do you think the difference is between he and David Letterman, where David Letterman was away for a little while and then said, I really should get back to work?
Well, here's the thing that I think from beyond what Obama is saying in the special, David Letterman doesn't say a whole lot. You know, by necessity of him being the interviewer, he's mostly asking questions both of Obama and John Lewis. But it opens with a short bit of him trying to book Obama on his show. You know, they flash back to the time that he was a guest on the Letterman show. And then he calls him on the phone and he's like, he gets off the phone and somebody off camera says, do you think, how did that go? And he was like, I think it was a no. And then it cuts to them going into the interview. So through little questions and little bits from Dave, particularly a bit at the end that I don't want to ruin, where Dave very briefly talks about something that honestly made me cry, it's a lot about, I think, him trying to figure that out. Why does he feel the need to come back to this? Why was he popular in the first place? And in a strange way, he is exploring it through the lens of these huge big name guests. So it's pretty fascinating to watch.
Do we know other guests that have been rumored to be on? I know Barack Obama, obviously, the first one. Are any?
Yep. Yeah, the next one is actually be George Clooney, which seems like a slightly different show. But he's going to have Jay-Z, Tina Fey, Malala is going to be on the show, Howard Stern. I think that's it for the first season. I think there's only 6 episodes, so it's pretty focused on that. But there's some pretty big names coming up.
Would you kind of put him in the bracket, Alexander, of who could he not get? Who would say no to him at this point? Is he that big at this point, would you think?
I think so. I mean, I think... You know, by necessity of being Dave Letterman coming back, doing a Netflix special and saying, you're doing 6 of these and you're going to be 1 of 6.
Yeah.
I can't imagine who would turn him down.
Yeah.
$10 he gets Uma and Oprah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good show. That's a good show. Alexander Zelvin is our guest. He's the managing editor over at TV Guide. We'll take a quick break and then continue. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leffert. It's Wendy Snyder, and our guest is Alexander Zelvin. Alexander is the managing editor of TV Guide. Visit them online at tvguide.com, of course. Alexander, this is depressing. A show I've been waiting for a long time, and now I find out it's on Amazon, and we don't get Amazon, although I could have the show delivered to my house in 24 hours. That's the show Electric Dreams, Philip K. Dick's mm-hmm. Electric Dreams. What do we know about this?
Well, if you're a fan of Black Mirror and aching after a short season that just dropped on Netflix, you can watch Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams. It's for Amazon subscribers, as you mentioned. And it's based on Philip K. Dick's short stories. You know, so they feel a little antiquated at certain points, but it's beautifully produced and beautifully acted and directed. There's an all-star cast. You got Steve Buscemi, Bryan Cranston, Anna Paquin, Janelle Monáe, Richard Madden from Game of Thrones, Greg Kinnear, a bunch of others. And one of the nice things about it is every episode is its own thing, just like Black Mirror. So if you're looking for some weird sci-fi, you can jump in. If you don't like one episode, check out the next and you're good to go. But I would recommend in particular, if you are interested in the show, they stacked it a little bit. The first 3 episodes are the ones that are, in my opinion, the best.
I get Amazon Prime, Bill, so I'll just watch it and tell you if it
was
good or not.
Would you do that and react the scenes for me?
I'm loving Black Mirror, and I noticed Jodie Foster directed an episode of it. There are celebrities in it, but this, you say even weirder, I'm all for this. I really am.
Yeah, and it really goes the range where Black Mirror is very focused on technology. This is a lot of different things. You know, there's alien invasion, there's space travel, but there's also stuff that I have a hard time describing. My favorite episode in the season is one that stars Timothy Spall, who, if you're a fan of the Harry Potter movies, you might know as Peter Pettigrew. But he basically plays a train station attendant who a woman approaches him, asks him to go to a station that, as far as he knows, doesn't exist. And he starts to explore it, and the entire time you're wondering, what is this? Is this a ghost story? Is it something about technology? Is it something else? And without spoiling, you don't quite get those answers, but it's a very beautiful ride as you go.
Now, that reminds me, there was a Twilight episode called Next Stop Willoughby, which is kind of that same story. Is it like that?
If there's a show that it's more similar to, it's definitely The Twilight Zone. You know, they're longer episodes, they're hour-long episodes. And one thing that I think you'll find interesting, because Philip K. Dick's stories have been around for so long, they've been copied so much through The Twilight Zone and other shows. So when you're watching the episodes, the stories are going to feel a little familiar sometimes. You'll think, hey, haven't I watched this before?
Yeah.
But I promise you they are all new.
All right. Forgive me for not knowing who Philip K. Dick is. I'm sorry.
Blade Runner is his, right? Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, and Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, and a lot of short stories. He's probably not as well known as like Isaac Asimov or other writers of that ilk, but he's as influential.
All right, and I asked Bill off the air. Bill's a former stand-up comic, and there's a stand-up comic that I've been watching, and I'm scratching my head, and I don't know if I absolutely adore this show or if it weirds me out. Maria Bamford is her name, and you've heard of her, Bill. I never heard of her.
She's so funny.
She does voices, cartoon voices for Cat Dog, and there's a big one, Adventure Time. She's a princess on Adventure Time. There's the show Lady Dynamite, and it is so out there, but what I love about it, and I believe this is true to form, is Maria Bamford suffers from bipolar 2 disorder, and she goes on to talk about it, and what we're seeing, I think, is through her eyes. Do you know more about that? I'm fascinated by it.
I think you described it perfectly. You know, I've actually met Maria Bamford a couple of times through comedy stuff, and she is the most wonderful, delightful person. But though she's amped up a little bit on stage, clearly she's workshopped the material, this is, I would argue, a pure expression of her as a person in a similar way to other shows that, like, channel comedians onto the screen. There's two seasons. It's on Netflix, so you can watch them right now. But I agree with you. It's definitely out there. It's definitely weird.
But I love it. I kept watching it.
Yeah, she is somebody that follows her muse, and this show just dives right down into it.
She did a comedy special once. I don't remember what the service she did it for was, but I saw it. So it's a comedy special, and she taped it in her mom and dad's apartment, and they were the only audience for the whole comedy special was her parents. Really inventive.
That's
She's great. Emma's show's great. And if you like comedy, there's kind of a murderer's row of guest stars that she has on there. There's Anna Gasteyer shows up in a recurring role.
She's great.
Ed Begley Jr., Benham Parham, Mo Collins, bunch of other people. Basically, if you've ever watched stand-up comedy or any sort of comedy in the past couple of years, you'll see somebody you recognize on the
show. Oh, that's excellent. Good. Gillian Anderson is leaving The X-Files.
I am too.
Again. Right. You and I already have.
I watched it. I watched the premiere. Wow. Could Mitch Pileggi overact more? I love Skinner, but boy.
At this point, the news came out a couple of days ago. We kind of knew this was going to happen already. It's honestly a surprise that there has been so much X-Files. We had the one event series, now we have the second event series, but Gillian Anderson has officially gone on record and said, nope, I'm going to do other things. I'm completely done with this. If they bring X-Files back one more time, I'm not going to be involved. That said, if you are still an X-Files fan, and it sounds like you're not exactly anymore,
I might give it one more shot.
Yeah, David Duchovny was a little more waffly. It was like,
he must need money more.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what this is like, Alexander? You're probably too young to get the reference, but when we were kids, Billy Martin was the manager of the Yankees, then he wasn't, then he was, then he wasn't, then he was, then he wasn't. Mm-hmm. Gillian Anderson's tenure with the X-Files is almost identical to Billy Martin's with the Yankees.
Yeah, I do think at this point, though, that she is actually 100% done with the show, no matter how much money they throw at her. There's another show that she's on where she's excellent on it called American Gods. And same thing, she said she's not coming back.
Yeah, she bailed on that, too.
Yeah, I think she just wants to make a change in her career. She wants to do something different. So I guess you could probably never say never, but this is as close to never to say never as you can get.
All right, we only have a minute or two on this, but boy, I hope this is good. They're turning Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire into a TV series. Mm-hmm. It was already a movie, a Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt movie, but now it'll be a longer form TV series. What do we need to know about this? When can we see it?
No idea when we can see it. It's very early stages, but I mentioned American Gods earlier. That's from executive producer Brian Fuller. I don't know if he specifically left to do this, but he's working on the whole Vampire Chronicles to create a series for the Paramount Network. We don't know if he's going to be the showrunner or exactly what's going to happen, but as of right now, they're working on it, and it should be pretty cool, particularly if you're a fan of vampires or Anne Rice.
No names have been mentioned yet for who will play Lestat or anybody else in the series?
Nothing. I hope Brad Pitt comes back and does a cameo, though.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
And then, Alexander, I've done this with you before, but I'm always anxious. What's coming up this week on TV that we should be looking out for? What really good things can we expect this week on TV?
Sure. This is this next week is actually going to be a big one. Black Lightning is hitting on January 16th on the CW. This is a big superhero show, but it also takes on racial politics in a real way. And if you've never watched any other superhero shows on the CW, definitely check that out. Wednesday, January 17th on FX, you got The Assassination of Gianni Versace, American Crime Story from Ryan Murphy. And that should be bananas, but also pretty excellent just based on People versus OJ. And if you're a fan of Portlandia,
yes,
the final season is kicking off. Kind of sad, happy news on January 18th on IFC. So it'll be your last chance to keep it weird.
I'll put a bird on it.
Good. Very good. Alexander, always fun to talk to you. Thanks so much. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks for having me on.
That's Alexander Zalbin, managing editor over at TV Guide. See them online at TVGuide.com. We'll take a quick break, then some more show. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.